I would like you to take your Bibles with me, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read to you verses 38 down through 42. Title of my message this morning is Sacrifice Without Revenge. Sacrifice, though, in the context of personal sacrifice. Sometimes what we do in life costs us something. There's a personal sacrifice to it. And that's really what we find this text talking about. So as I read these verses, you'll hear it and you'll recognize it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 down through 42. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. These are verses that for many, many people, they read them and they just a little bit cringe, because it really is asking us to do something that goes just a tad bit against our nature. I want to read to you several other verses. Romans 12:17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 and 15 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. And the last one, I want you to turn with me, and turn with me to 1 Peter, if you would, over to those small epistles towards the back of your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you verses 8 through 11. And I want you to hear how that the New Testament challenges us to give of ourselves to help others in so many different ways. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 down through 11, it says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You know, the New Testament principle throughout the scriptures is driven by Christ himself. He that gave his all, not for himself, but for us, a giver of self, that others might benefit. When we look at this text where Jesus Christ is teaching us some very hard principles, we have to step back and ask ourselves, are we willing to sacrifice? And I added in there, without revenge. Because sometimes we have a tendency to say, yeah, I'll take it, but I'll get it back. You know, I'll go ahead and take it on the chin, but I'll get back later. And that's not what Jesus is talking about here at all. He's talking about real, genuine, personal sacrifice to help and benefit others, all to the glory of God. The first sacrifice he talks about is physical sacrifice. This is a tough text to take as a person when you read verse 39 there. Listen again to what he says, and actually he keys it off of verse 38, where he's quoting to us out of the book of Exodus, where it says, ye have heard it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He's quoting out of the law. The Old Testament law was harsh, and it demanded skin, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus is shifting the paradigm. He's bringing it into the Christian era. He's telling you and I, sometimes we need to do personal sacrifice. That's why we come down to verse 39. He says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. This is a principle that we can only look to Jesus to find the greatest example of. And you might say to yourself, well, I don't know. I didn't see Jesus get smote to the cheek and turn the other. But no, you did. Over and over again, when you read in the New Testament, you'll find where they accuse him, they attack him, they do many things, and he turns the other cheek and he goes on. Remember, we must never forget that he is the God who created all the universe. He could have called down fire from heaven. And for you and I, in our nature, if we had the power to call down fire from heaven, tell me that we wouldn't have done it. Yeah, that carnal man would rise up and you'd just smoke him. Might even be your own child. Who knows? You know, God spared us by not going ahead and giving us those kind of powers. But Jesus had them, and he did not do that. Even as they smote him, he still gave his life for them. You know, Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, you find Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's looking down the road at crucifixion very soon. And yet he says to the Lord, I would like to have this cup removed from me, but not my will. Yours be done. He was willing to take it for the will of God and the benefit of you and I. That's amazing, isn't it? Luke chapter 23, verse 34 says, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and they cast lots. This is Christ on the cross itself. He's already been nailed on and put up. And here he is saying to God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As they gamble away his garments before him on the ground. So when we read a text like this in verse 39, where Jesus says to you and I, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other, you're listening to somebody who's speaking from experience. He himself was willing to take it on the chin and not strike back. Not push back. This principle is taught both in the Old Testament as well as the New. I've told you that when my children were very small, each of them I had them memorize Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Because it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but contentious words stir up anger. I had them memorize that because kids bicker. Have you ever seen little brothers and sisters bicker? One says something, the other one says something back even more harsh. Then that one feels like they've got to upmanship them one more, so they get even more harsh. Next thing you know, it can go far, can't it? Yeah. And so when I would hear that bickering start, I'd stop them and I'd say, wait, what's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 say? A soft answer turns away the wrath. Your contentious words are just stirring up more anger. Jesus, when he says to us, when we get struck on the cheek to turn and let him strike us on the other, is working off of that principle that instead of striking back, let it go. Because it's only going to escalate, isn't it? It's interesting when we come also into the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 15, it says, by long suffering is a prince persuaded. And a soft tongue breaks the bones. He's saying, you know what? By you and I just being persuasive, we gain far more than we do by being confrontational. This weekend, we did the men's conference. And part of the men's conference this year is we had a breakout session where we each of us pastors, there were eight pastors there. And so I had all the men just count off 1 through 8. And then we randomly put 8 guys in a circle with a pastor. And then I had written trigger questions to just create conversation. And it was interesting, the young man to my left was a police officer. And he started talking about, as we went around, about within his department, the dog-eat-dog kind of, if I can, you'll lose your job, so I get a promotion type atmosphere. And both sitting around that circle, I thought, I would have never thought that to be the case. I truly would have thought, in fact, I looked at him, I said, well, I thought there was a much deeper brotherhood than that. He said, well, there is when the need, when the really push comes to shove, there is a brotherhood. But he said, within the rank and file, there's a climb on top of each other to advance within a large department. And I thought to myself, that would be tough. I don't have to do that here. You know, John's not trying to take my job as far as I know. And I'm not trying to take his. You know, sometimes real cruel and harsh things happen in this world, aren't there? Where people really do try to do us harm. And Jesus tells us that we ourselves need to be sensitive enough, and aware enough to know how to respond without being vengeful, aggressive, without triggering worse. You see, there's balance in these principles. John chapter 18, verse 22 and 23 says, "And when Christ had spoken, one of the officers which stood by him struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered, and he said, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why are you hitting me? Why smitest thou me?" So we find an example of Christ bringing the balance in. He could have called fire down from heaven, but instead he says, why are you hitting me in the face for something I said? What I said was true, wasn't it? If it wasn't true, you tell me. And if it was true, why are you hitting me in the face? So he comes back. It's not that he just let them keep hitting him with the palm of the hand. He says, wait a minute. Why are you doing this? Have I done wrong? No, you know I didn't do wrong. Then why are you hitting me? You find the balance in there. He doesn't call down fire from heaven, but neither does he let him just go ahead and keep on wailing on him. He kind of makes him step back and think about what's going on. That's the balance in life that we find in the New Testament, where we learn to get self-control, control ourselves to control the situation as God guides us and enables us in life. Jesus is trying to teach us, isn't he? The Apostle Paul also gives us a great example of balance in this regard. In Acts chapter 23, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to hit him in the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest them to smite me against the law?" Because, see, the Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen. And under the law of Rome, an official could not strike a Roman citizen without having a trial and having that person found guilty. So when that commander looked over and said, hit him, that commander was breaking the law of the land. And Paul says, wait a minute. Here you are hitting me against the law, accusing me of violating the law. Now, he could have gone ahead and he could have struck back, although that would not have been a wise thing to do. He could have escalated the situation by calling out to his followers, his helpers, and saying, come on, let's fight. He didn't do that. He took it instead and he brought it back into balance. And he said to the commander, you broke the law by having him strike me, and yet you're striking me in accusation of breaking the law. So we find in the New Testament that Christ calls us to go ahead and sometimes take the sacrifice, take it on the chin. He's saying, take it, that you might honor God in your life, that you might have self-control, that you might defuse the situation and not escalate it and lose your testimony or even so much more. So when we find the teachings of Jesus here, he's teaching us how to sacrifice personally for the greater good. Look with me down at verse 40 in the same text, Matthew chapter 5. Look with me at verse 40. "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." This also is a very interesting text, because we live in a very litigious society here in the United States. And what that simply means is people sue each other all the time over the craziest things for the most astronomical amounts. You know, you read in the news, or you hear it on the news, these multi-million, even I heard the other day a lawsuit that was in the billions, where they won billions. And you think to yourself, wow. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says to us, he says, now listen, if somebody takes you to court and they sue you to get your coat, when you give them the coat, give them your cloak also. Boy, that goes against the human nature, doesn't it? Doesn't that go against the grain? If I've lost and I've got to give my coat, I'm going to give my cloak also? That's hard to take. But I want you to see, the principle of this carries even a little bit farther. Look with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians. The New Testament is so full of so many interesting truths that challenge our nature and help us tap into the power of God, Christ himself in our lives. Listen to what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 down through 8. He says, "Dare any of you," talking to you and I as Christians, "dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?" So he's talking to the church in Corinth. He says, dare you, if your brother and sister in Christ does something to upset you, how dare you take them to court rather than discuss it among the saints, the brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? So he reminds us, he says, listen, someday we are going to be in an eternal heaven. Someday we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. He says, don't you understand that you and I, as regular believers, children of God, you and I one day will rule and reign with Jesus Christ? He says, and you can't talk about and work out the smallest issues? All of a sudden, it kind of makes us all feel a little small, doesn't it? We get in arguments and fights about the pettiest, piddliest, littlest things. He's just kind of pulling us back into perspective, isn't he? He comes down and he says in verse 3, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." He says, your issues among yourself, your arguments and disagreements and petty things, he said, find the least person in the whole congregation and let them go ahead and judge. Because someday you're going to be part of a heavenly host, a kingdom of God that will weigh much weightier things than all these little things we deal with in this world. Verse 6, he says, "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why you do not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Lose whatever it is. If, you know, if you're upset because somebody broke your car key, come on." And I don't know that that's happened, so if that happened to you, sorry, I didn't know. I'm just pulling out of the air an example I think nobody had. But, you know, if you get upset over some crazy thing, somebody stepped on your brand new patent leather shoe in the foyer and you find a scratch and you're upset, He's saying, come on, pull it together, brothers and sisters in Christ. Pull it together, saints. You're going to bring that. And of course, you wouldn't sue over a patent leather shoe, I would hope. But he says, you're going to bring that to the secular law? Let people who are not believers make judgments about believers? He says, that's not right. He says, better to take the loss. Verse 8, nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. He's saying, don't you understand? You've changed. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God made you a new creature in Him. You're born again, as Christ told Nicodemus. And with that comes some sacrifice, where we no longer get up on our high horse and get worked up about the most petty things, suing each other and fighting with each other and having conflict over small things in life. Lord willing, hopefully, by the grace of God, we have a much larger perspective, even to the very kingdom. That's what he's trying to teach us. Some things are better to take the loss. Lose the argument. It's okay. You don't have to fight to the death. That's what he's saying to us. But all of these things have to be kept in balance. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27, it says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So Jesus here, dealing with the masses that were following him and following him, he says to them, he says, I really know why you're here. I know your motive. Your motive is because I fed the 5,000. You're following me because you're thinking you're going to get something out of it. That's interesting. He looks into our heart and he sees past ourselves. He sees the very intent. And he says to them, he reminds them that really there's a much greater good in store than just fish, bread, water. See, sometimes we're so focused on the material things of this world, we're willing to sue anybody to make $1 billion. And he says to them, he says, don't you understand that there's eternal issues at hand? Eternal life, eternal issues. If I gave every one of you in this room $1 million right now, now I don't have the means for that, maybe Paul could or Mike, I don't know. But if they each gave you $1 million right now, in 100 years it would mean nothing to you. Nothing. Because I have done many, many funerals, and I have never seen on the way to the gravesite somebody putting cash cards or credit cards, or I've never seen anybody fill in the casket with greenbacks. Because when you go, that all stays. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. None of it can you take with you. Not even a dime. I remind sometimes older folks, because it's not uncommon for me to talk to older people who will say to me, well, I don't want to do that because I want to be sure and leave plenty for my kids. And I try to remind them, listen, don't forget, you've worked hard your whole life. Enjoy what you have, because when they get it, they're going to enjoy it. Now, I don't mean that you shouldn't leave something to your kids and all the many other great causes out there. But remember that when you leave it, and you will leave it, none of it's going with you, they're going to enjoy what they get. They'll spend it. So here he's reminding us, oh, come on. Don't, Don't fight and sue one another as brothers and sisters in Christ about the most petty, small issues. And that's what was happening in the church in Corinth. They were getting worked up over crazy things, suing each other in the courts of the law. He says, come on. Your testimony for Christ is worth so much more. There are eternal issues at hand, much more important than all these petty material things. We come down and he brings us to verse 41 in Matthew chapter 5. And each one of these challenge us as individuals and as people. Listen to what he says in verse 41. He says to us, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Now for us and our culture and our society, this doesn't fully connect, because we don't live under the Roman culture, the Roman society. But in the Roman society, the law of the land was that if a Roman soldier was walking down the road carrying his gear and he encountered you, he could look at you and say, Rick, I need you to come right up here and I need you to put on my pack. I need you to take my gear and I need you to walk one Roman mile. And still today, you can go to Europe, you can go on a tour, and the tour guide will point out for you, that right there is a Roman mile marker. I've seen them. Stone markers chiseled out by the Roman Empire. So a soldier by law could ask you to carry all his gear for 1 mile. Now, you and I, we can't relate to that, because today, if you see military on the move, they're moving in Humvees and trucks. Sometimes you see stuff on trains. We can't relate to carrying somebody else's stuff for a mile. But it wasn't just a matter of carrying a Roman soldier's stuff. These guys were not your average friendly military person. Katie right here is a recruiter for the military. Stand up for just 1 second, Katie. What a sweetheart, huh? I mean, go ahead. Sure. And we appreciate her serving our country. But you don't look at a harsh, cruel, mean Roman soldier sitting right there. Not to say she can't take care of herself. But, you know, I mean, Roman soldiers, by the nature of their business, were exceedingly aggressive, exceedingly harsh, exceedingly cruel. They were cruel every day to everybody because they ruled the empire. So the average citizen like you and I, we didn't look down the road and say, oh, hey, there's a military guy. The other day I was talking to a gentleman. I told him on Wednesday night, I was chatting with a guy named Tom up in Ferrisburg, had on a Vietnam cap, and I said to him, thank you so much for serving our country. He said, oh, glad to do it. And I genuinely feel that way. They were not looking at Roman soldiers and saying, thank you so much for serving the empire. That was not happening. So when that soldier would approach somebody and say, carry my gear, that was a humbling, degrading, humiliating thing to have to do. Because these are your oppressors, your conquerors. And Jesus said, when they ask you to carry it one, carry it two. Now, in our nature is not likely. He'll be lucky to get the whole one. Jesus says, no, go two. Because there's a bigger, bigger cause at hand. And sometimes we have to lay ourselves, we sacrifice ourselves, we lay ourselves aside for the good of the kingdom of God. And that's what he's talking about here. These are the principles that he's teaching us. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17 says, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look is the first one. Pride. Pride is an abomination to the Lord. And so he's addressing something within us, this arrogance, this pridefulness that sometimes we have. When we're not willing to submit, we're not willing to yield, we're not willing to do right because we are who we are. Jesus says, you know what? You're a Christian. Your life is to minister to others. Your life is to reach others with the gospel. You and my, we're here but for a season, the Bible says. In fact, the scriptures say our life is but a vapor. It appears for a time, and then it's gone. I live right there on Route 22A, and when I look out across, especially in the early morning, I can see the mist rising off of Lake Champlain. I can't see the lake because the trees go all the way down and then the mountains begin. But I can see the mist rising off the lake. Not long after I see it, though, it'll disappear. And he says, that's like our lives. That mist appears, and I'm here for my generation. And then I'm with him forevermore. So why not humble myself in this life in order to honor him for the next life? He's really, really making us look at some hard things. I'm not telling you, boy, the message this morning is easy. This is a snap. I can do this. Listen, every one of us struggle with these issues. The last one, let's look at the last one, verse 42. He's talking to us about sacrificing for the greater good, the cause of Christ, the testimony of being a Christian. Listen to verse 42. He says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Why should we? Why should we give? Maybe because Christ gave to us. He gave it all, didn't he? Jesus Christ gave it all that we might have eternal life. He gave his life that we might have life. Psalms 112 verse 5 says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says that. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother has need and shuts up his bowel of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? It's a question. He says, if we see somebody else struggling and suffering, and we know that we can help that brother or sister in Christ, and we pull back away, he says, how's the love of God sit in your heart? How's that dwell in you? He's really making us look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to give of myself that I might help minister to others and do the greater good for the cause of Christ and beyond? Sometimes it does cost us something. I was flying to a meeting here not too long ago, and nowadays traveling is just, by no means is it the 1960s, you know, where you have stewardesses in cute little outfits and they're giving you treats. And you listen, man, it is like cattle cars. They're getting you in and getting you out. And so I was transferring from one gate to the other, and it happened to be an airport where you had to get in a tram to do it. And we're cramming into this tram, and I happen to be one of the first people on the tram. So I'm going to sit down because I'm one of the first people on a tram. So I sit down. And then the thing keeps filling and filling and filling. Well, you know what? I'm not the oldest. I'm not the lamest. I'm not the list goes on. So I get up and I look for somebody who's really struggling. Somebody who's got a cane. You know, somebody who's really needs the seat. Why? Because it's right. It's right. I know we don't live in a culture today that does that, but it's right. We should give to others. We should lend the seat. Amen? It's just good to do. It is the Christian principle. And that's what he's teaching us here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." That's the balance that the New Testament and the Old Testament brings in. You see, because sometimes we live in a culture that says, well, give, 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 give. You don't have to work. We'll give, give, give. And the Bible says, wait, you should give, but you should also work. That's the balance. You see, we have to seek that balance in our lives. Even when it comes to generosity, even when it comes to giving, he says, step back, look at it, think it through. We as a church, we try to do a lot, not only around the world in missions, but even in our community as well. We're on a call list here in town. There's a little rehab, a halfway house for young women who are recovering from drug addiction. And so when they graduate the program here, they have to go into a halfway house. And I'm not exactly sure how that all works because I've never been a part of that system. But they go from the in-house program to an extended program. But they have to find the funds to get into the extended program. And so they call their friends, their family, their neighbors, their cousins, their old boyfriends, their church, or a local church. And very often, we as a church, I don't call you and ask you, I'll just say to them, sure, we'll help. Because they've got to raise like $500, and I'll say, we'll give $100, or we'll give $75. Why do we do that? We do that because we're part of a community. And I want to see these young ladies succeed, don't you? I want to see them break the addiction, go to the next stage, make it. I want to see them do well. So we, as a church, give a share. Now, could I say to them, yeah, we'll pay the whole thing? Well, maybe we could, but I don't. Because the idea is that they're supposed to work to get the funds. They need to work. It's part of their program. So we do a share. It's the Christian thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You and I as Christians are called sometimes to very hard things. It's not always easy. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. Sometimes the hardest things are the things we should do. Because it's right. Because Christ has called us to it. So you and I as a church, we step back, we look at these things in Matthew chapter 5, and we say, not easy, but I'll work at it. And for him, for the Lord, I will do my very best to do it. I'd like you to bow your heads with me as we come to the end of our message. As your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, maybe even right now, God has reminded you of some things that you know you need to be working on. Maybe somebody has really struck out at you and you're tempted to strike back. Maybe there's some material thing that you know somebody has taken advantage of you with, and you're bitter and you're angry. It's costing you and anxiety and loss of sleep. And now all of a sudden Jesus is saying, let it go. Or maybe where you live right now or where you work, your pride is being put to the test. And all of a sudden this morning, Jesus is asking us to lay our pride aside and exalt Christ. That's not easy. But you know you need to let the Lord. Or maybe there's somebody you know who really does have a need. You've been really unwilling to give from your abundance to help them in their lack. Let's take just a moment in silent prayer and let's talk to God about these things in our personal lives. How it relates to this challenge from our Lord. Let's just take a moment privately, quietly, and talk to Him about it. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of our service, Lord, I pray that you would help us to not be forgetful hearers, but doers of your word. Help us to take these principles as we go forth into our community. Help us to really live them. Not that they are not a challenge, Lord, they are a challenge. We ask for your help, your strength, not for ourselves, but Lord, for your will to be done. We thank you that you've given all for us. Help us to sacrifice for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed. Thank you very, very much for coming and being in God's house this morning.